And we're live. Just kidding. No, but seriously, we're live right now. We're in James's game room right now, located in Houston, Texas. And it is my last night here in Houston before I make my way back over to Georgia.
That's just adding to my tears after my teams were humiliated in our pick'em. But yes, this is our last live episode. I'm good.
So you just want to jump right into it?
No, I'm just...
Let's jump right into it.
It's just on my mind.
Let's jump right into it.
It hurts.
I destroyed James in our first ever top 10 weekend matchup. And this weekend matchup
is... That's karma, because it was my idea to even come up
with the contest. Yeah, no, he thought he was going to destroy me, but...
I thought it'd be fun.
You just don't simply beat the king, James. And
it's week one.
Did you get my pun there, King James? You don't simply beat the king, James. But... anyways, let's just jump right into it. We had our top 10 weekend series matchups brought to you by Team Barfinder. And this episode would not be possible without Team Barfinder, as they are a great sponsor of ours. We touched a lot on them on the last episode about how they're the new app on the Apple market right now. And their concept is to help sports fans like you and me and James and all of our friends out there to find a bar close to you with like-minded fans, so you can cheer for your team together. So, for example, last episode we talked about how James was a huge Patriots fan. Still is a huge Patriots fan. And whenever he's sitting here in Houston in the fall, he would love to watch the Patriots games with other Patriots fans. Well, guess what? There's an app now that is very easy to use that was founded by Team Barfinder. And Team Barfinder makes it really easy for people to search for bars near them, first of all. Second of all, for bars near them that support their favorite teams. So whether you're a Cal State Fullerton or Cal State Northridge fan, and you want to watch some college baseball, college basketball, anything out there, you can find the perfect bar for you and your friends to gather around, and it's really easy to use. They actually have tweeted at us a very, very, very influential video of how to correctly use their app, and people have been giving us great responses for it. So I think we've had a lot of people download the app, use it, and they used it this weekend. And now that college basketball is heating up with conference tournaments and the NCAA tournament, it's going to make it a lot easier for you to root for your Clemson Tigers or your Michigan Wolverines with people in your area that are those fans. So give them a shot. It's Team Barfinder. All you have to do is search their name in the Apple App Store. It'll be the first one to pop up, and it'll be well worth your time. So now... we want to get right into it, and let's just talk about the utter dominance that I provided this week on my five series. And I believe the only weekend series I lost was Missouri State. They lost to UC Irvine 2 out of 3, but the SEC teams, they jumped on top.
And except for my team. Except for my SEC
team. Yeah, your SEC team, not so much. But I picked the Georgia Bulldogs to beat Georgia Southern. Easy win. I beat Ole Miss to beat Long Beach State. Easy win after a nice walk-off home run beer shower in Oxford, Mississippi.
How cool was that, by the way?
It was great. Unbelievable. It looked like there was rockets shooting up from right field. It could not have been scripted any better.
I can't wait to watch some Ole Miss SEC games in the middle of April with 9,000 fans on a Friday night beer shower. It's going to be great.
Yeah, just watch out for Ole Miss. They're really scary this year. But we'll talk a little bit more about them when we release our second Talk 25. The other two series I had was South Carolina over Clemson. That was a cool series because South Carolina beat them pretty good first night, and then they lost pretty bad the second night. And then they came out today and smoked Clemson. And then Alabama took care of business over South Al, bringing my record to 4-1. James? Different story for you.
Okay, so I had Oklahoma State over Iowa. They lost 2 out of 3, one game short there. I had an upset with Fullerton over Stanford. They didn't get that done. They lost 2 out of 3. I nailed the easy Florida State and our number one team from last week, Oregon State. And then the shocker and surprise move of the weekend, Texas, showing that they are back. They're for real. They beat LSU in a 3-game sweep down in the Texas State Capitol. Very surprising. So not a good start for me. I'm already looking forward to next week with the ACC starting their conference play. That's gonna be good. That's what I'm looking forward to. But yeah, it was rough, guys.
And doesn't it just make it worse that the weekend that we decided, not we, but when I say we, I mean the fans,
us collectively,
the 11.7 podcast and listeners decided that we are going to root against the University of Texas Longhorns for the whole 2019 season. So this is something that we provided last week for you guys, that we were going to pick a team that nobody wants to root for, you know, maybe bad fans, bad players, bad traditions, bad history, whatever it was. We narrowed it down to four. You guys voted. We have, I think, 350 votes on it.
It was ridiculous.
And it was literally neck and neck between the Longhorns and the Gators.
And then something happened.
And then something happened where we had a Longhorn, no, was it an Aggie fan maybe? Texas A&M Aggie? Somebody tweeted and said, "You guys know what to do. Everybody vote for the Longhorns." And from that moment on, the vote shifted tremendously. And we're not going to name any names, but somebody out there was very, very influential in the voting. And
I want a recall.
And we're getting a lot of heat right now. Like, we had a Texas fan tweet at us and say, "It would be a real shame if we all gave you one-star reviews on your podcast."
The fans voted.
Yeah, it's not us. It's not like we have a vendetta against Texas, but the fans wanted us to root against Texas, so it was tough for us to check the box scores this weekend and see Texas just roll all over LSU. Like, it wasn't even there was a couple close games, like, at points, but from start to finish, the Longhorns took care of business. So it was really upsetting for us to see that. But, you know, if there's some Texas Longhorn fans out there listening, if you guys think you can convince us to not root against you, go for it. But
the fans have spoken.
Honestly, it's probably better in your favor that we're rooting against you, because we're jinxing you up to winning more ball games. So,
hey, who would have thought that in the preseason, when we found out that David Hamilton was going to be out for the year for Texas, that they would be able to pull off a 3-game sweep against LSU? I mean, they're not going to be feeling sorry for themselves, obviously, losing
their best player. You could have given them Clayton Kershaw, and I still wouldn't have said they would have swept LSU. That's just, it's college baseball, man. It's so much fun. But anyway, so yeah, I whooped James in the team bar finder.
Week one.
Top 10 series matchups. No surprise. I think we all know that I know more about baseball than James, but
Week two's coming up.
I just got to prove myself another time, and well, I'm going to clinch this thing up about week 7 or 8.
Yeah, we're going to keep some standings. So right now I'm 2 games back.
4-1, baby.
Fair enough.
But yeah, so I know a lot more about baseball than James. It's pretty obvious.
Well, I disagree, but because that you're all up on your high horse, I think I'm going to bring you back down to earth with a little trivia question that I guarantee you.
Baseball trivia?
Baseball trivia question.
Anything. Let me hear it.
Anything.
Whatever it is. I got you.
All right. Well, I guarantee that, you know what, I'm going to be nice. I think that this trivia question is going to be so difficult that you will not get it by the end of the show. So you've got about 45 minutes to think about.
Can I use my Googler?
No Googling allowed. Ah. So here's the trivia question. And one time in a
Can we let our fans play too? Maybe let them?
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Please tweet at us and see if you can get it, the trivia question, before the show ends, before the answer comes to you. So one time, this is a real thing. This is not a made up situation. There was a triple play in a spring training game in the major leagues, obviously, where there was a triple play, but not one single defender caught or threw a baseball. A triple play with no one on defense participating. How did it happen?
Who was playing?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. I was going to say, if it was like the Florida Marlins, they might have got traded away while they were on the bases. So what you're saying, there's a triple play. Nobody touched the baseball?
No one on defense caught or threw said baseball to record any of the outs. So there was no put out and no assist in a triple play.
Are pegs allowed? They get pegged around the bases?
No, there's not wiffle ball. No.
All right. Wait, so on a serious note, my guess, let me know if I'm right or wrong.
You think you can get it first try?
Yeah. I think that there was a ball hit to deep left.
A ball was hit, left
or right center. The bases were loaded. And the runner on second passed up the runner on third. and the runner on first passed up the runner on second. All right, now so, you're wrong. No, wait, that's just, there's you're no way he covered that much ground. all right, wait, one more try. Line drive, bases loaded. Line drive hits off the helmet of the runner on third, bounces and hits the guy running to second in the air, double peg with a line drive. Okay. And then the runner on first thought he was out, so he jogged back to the dugout.
All right, so I'll give you one hint. You have a third of the outs. Somebody was hit by a ball. Somebody was hit by a ball. So there you go. There you go. Maybe that'll help you along. So
I'll get it by the end of the show. I think. Maybe not.
We'll see. We'll see. So that might bring you back down to earth after a good weekend though on your part. I was honestly scared about the Mercer Florida State series.
Stop
picking against your boys.
Stop. That wasn't even like there was maybe three innings of close baseball that whole series.
Yeah, that was very surprising. We even said on this podcast that we kind of expected Mercer to take a game.
Yeah, I thought they were winning game two, but then there was like an hour and a half rain delay. And Mercer's like 2-0 lead turned into an 11-2.
You figured
defeat.
That rain delay would haunt Florida State and just switch the tide.
Shout out to Elijah McNamee of Florida State hitting that walk off.
You know, low key, I would have liked I just want the fans to know that I begged and pleaded Ben that we could add Florida State in the poll of teams to root against because I like rooting against Florida State. Like that's a team that they've been to a regional for 42 years in a row. Like.
My defense was it was Mike Martin's last year, and you can't do that to the poor guy.
Well, and also we didn't really get a lot of support for that as well.
I'm going to get this trivia question before the show's over. But anyways, going into this weekend, I saw a lot of great things headed in the right direction for college baseball. And the biggest thing was I want to bring this little segment in. It's called Growing College Baseball's Revenue. And I know it probably doesn't sound interesting, but I saw a lot of cool things this weekend when I was sitting in my, 2-foot by 2-foot green chair at Minute Maid Park for 30 hours over 3 days that excited me about college baseball. And it was the revenue that I saw that was generated from this tournament. And the biggest thing was alcohol sales. So they were serving alcohol throughout the whole weekend. The first game was 11 a.m., by 10:30, I saw the first beer cracked, and I saw beers cracked until 10:30 p.m. Like there was no like last call at the seventh inning. It was like we're in downtown Houston. We're here for a good night, and they were selling beer to anybody and everybody that looked above the age of 21. We saw a couple questionable. Good for them.
Absolutely.
Good for them. James actually tapped me on the shoulder and said, "No way that kid's 21. And I look, and the kid probably grew his first facial hair like this week.
It was definitely the first time he'd ever held one
of
those
he
cans.
Looked like he felt like he was the coolest guy in the ballpark because he knew he wasn't supposed to be holding a tall boy Bud Light. But anyways, revenue in baseball. You want to grow revenue in baseball, start with alcohol sales because they were not – I'm not kidding – They were selling tall boys of cans, which is I think 16 ounces.
Yeah,
16 ounce cans, 20 maybe 24 ounce cans. But they were selling them for I'm not kidding, $12.75 a piece for domestic, $13.75 for imported, and you're talking $13-14 for a beer. You can get a 6-pack at the Shell station down the road for $5.99, $6.50 at the most. It's unbelievable how much people desire alcohol while watching baseball. It goes hand in hand.
Absolutely.
And so by the markup of 800 times of what it should be, alcohol sales is where I would start. Every college campus, no matter if it's a dry campus or not, for college baseball game days, there needs to be alcohol sales because not only will it attract the young kids, the college kids that are 21 on their fake IDs, but it also attracts the older gentlemen and women in the area to go and have an evening snack while they watch their baseball and then get drunk and go back home and pass out in bed. Like, you get a great share of both the old and the young there for one reason, watch baseball, get drunk, and you can charge whatever you want and they will buy it. So
you could definitely do $10 a beer.
$10 a beer for 28 games if you sell 500 beers in a weekend.
It would be way more than that. You've got like a 8,000 seat stadium in Arkansas. You're gonna sell at least 1,000 beers.
Yeah, 100%. And So alcohol is where I wanted to start. Another aspect of it is the entertainment portion. So between innings, they had people on the Jumbotron because Shriners Hospital sponsored it. And they added some, you know, funny snippets of like the Shriners, the face of Shriners, his name is Alec. He would do some cool things on the field. But they would also
shout out to that kid.
Yeah, no, that kid held it down this weekend. He's a great kid. But then they also showed cool things on the scoreboard. And I know not everybody has a electronic scoreboard, but you can do fun things on the field like we did for the Making Bacon this summer and have competitions between kids, you know, Dizzy Bat or, you know, T-shirt toss, whatever it is, to keep the fans engaged. And they did a good job of that this weekend. So the entertainment factor, you know, building bigger stadiums is also, I know it costs money to build a stadium, but you're going to make that revenue back up with ticket sales. You provide a nice shaded place, you know, right behind home plate where people aren't used to sitting because a major league ticket there costs $80, but it costs them $5 to sit there for a college game. It's something else that, you know, they would rather do than go sit on some metal bleachers out in the middle of Iowa. Mm-hmm. You know? So, you know, yeah, it's more attractive to have a nicer stadium. And just kind of make it more of like a minor league atmosphere, because minor league ballparks, they sell 3,000 to 5,000 tickets a game, and it's, you know, not MLB quality.
Well, think about it this way. Like, in, okay, obviously, like, at places like Longwood, they're never going to really generate revenue, but in these schools that are in small parts of the country, so to speak, they're very much like minor league ballparks. They're roughly the same size, but on top of this, the fans are actually really passionate about these colleges, right? Like, there's reasons to be passionate about Arkansas, Florida. Like, people love these schools. Like, but in the minor leagues, like in these college baseball, these minor league stadiums that do get turnout, like, there's not as much passion, but people still go, like, because there's the players transfer in and out all the time, right? Like, he's moving up to AAA, down to AA, going to A ball. Oh, he's in the major leagues. There's not really a sticking point. And I feel like these colleges, they have much more to sell, like the bigger ones, right? Like the SEC teams, the ACC.
You're getting at least 3 years of a player, versus like single A and double A. You know, you might get 3 weeks of a player. So, mm-hmm. No, I mean, I think that
if you couldn't tell, we want the game to grow.
We want it to grow. And the only way for it to grow is to make more money. And the only way to make more money is to get more fans in the stadium and having them purchase concessions. And, you know, parking is another thing that I paid $10 to park every day. And I had no problem with it because it was close to the stadium.
And it was so good baseball.
It was good baseball, too. So, you know, between parking, alcohol, entertainment, those are ways, in our opinion, that we can, you know, not we, but the fans out there can help grow the game of college baseball.
Hey, NCAA, you listening?
Yeah.
We got some ideas.
I know they're listening. They feel threatened by us. I saw a couple of the articles that NCAA baseball was writing about, you know, weekend series and top 25s. We might be copying them, but we like to think they're copying us. But yeah, so that's a little bit of baseball talk about how growing college baseball would be. But, James.
What's up, Ben?
I want you to break down some scores for me from this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely.
We had some cool things. We had the Bash Bros absolutely tear it up this weekend.
Two more Bash Brothers sightings tonight after Spencer Torkelson hits his first home run of the season and walk-off against Michigan State. They're undefeated.
Who's they?
Arizona State's undefeated.
There we go.
We were all over them first. They're climbing in our rankings. Shout out. We think there might be, at this point, a favorite to host a regional. I mean, someone's got to host regionals out in the West Coast. I mean, Texas Tech's going to go play somewhere. There's teams that are in that area of the country that, I mean, that's a you could see Wright State being shipped out there possibly as well. They're kind of in the central part of the country. So Arizona State's looking really good, and you mentioned the Bash Brothers, but we'd like to get to some scores, starting with Arizona State today winning 13-2 over Michigan State, a home run for Hunter Bishop again, a home run for Carter Aldright. He's a beast. They've actually been interacting with us.
Yeah, they've been retweeting our stuff and favoring our stuff. I mean, they know what we're doing, and they love it. So
we love them, man. It's just fun to watch guys that can really swing the bat, giving green lights on 3-0s on a Friday night. Like, hey, we don't care.
We'll start the weekend off hot, yeah.
Absolutely. So, and then moving on, Grand Canyon with an upset over USC, the real USC, 7-3. Cal State Fullerton over Stanford 6-5. West Virginia shutting out Oregon State 2-0.
Yeah, wait, what? I saw that earlier today, and I was like,
refresh
no
the page.
Yeah, I was like, no. Like, 10, they scored 10. They forgot the 1 in front of the 0. But, yeah, our number one team, Oregon State, goes down in a shutout today against West Virginia, who is a good ball club. They're pretty good this year, but no way you get shut out at your home field on a Sunday. You got the Sunday arms going.
Absolutely. Very, very surprising there. But, like we said, West Virginia is a club not to be taken lightly. And then the second game of a doubleheader, USC does beat Grand Canyon 7-1. North Carolina, my preseason pick to win the national championship, doing what they're supposed to do.
They played UMass Lowell.
Doing what they're supposed to do.
They played UMass Lowell. That's not even a real school.
14-2. Anyways, Miami winning 20-1 over University of Maryland, Baltimore County. Wake Forest over Furman 5-1. NC State, a team we really like that caught our attention a couple weeks ago, over Minnesota 5-4.
Undefeated NC State.
Very, very impressive there. South Carolina over Clemson in the series that we were most excited to see this weekend. We mentioned that they play a home and home and then a neutral site game at a beautiful stadium. That was a final score of 14-3. Duke over Penn State 9-2. Florida State over Mercer 5-1. Florida putting up a 28th spot on Winthrop.
Good God.
Imagine
leaving. Like, you have to travel back to Winthrop, Virginia, maybe?
North Carolina? They're in the Carolinas.
Yeah,
fun fact. You know what? We're full of fun facts on this show. We talk about weird things that you might not know about college baseball unless you're either A, a fan of said school, or B, you played at said school. So I actually had the privilege of going and playing at Winthrop. They also have one of the weirdest perks in college baseball. So, fun fact. When Winthrop built their stadium, they fucked up. Because they put home plate directly in the path of where the sun sets on Friday and Saturday and Sunday evening games.
No, they didn't. Yeah, that's what they wanted to do because they were going to recruit the best pitchers in the nation, dude.
Hold on. So they build this stadium, and it's actually kind of a nice, like, old Coliseum looking stadium. It's pretty cool. So they build this stadium, and then they realize that it's right in the middle of the sun and they're never going to be able to play any night games. So they build, like, no joke, like a 100 by 100 just black steel curtain in center field.
It's the size of a football field. It has to be.
It is absolutely huge, and it just towers over the stadium. I think they said it was like multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars just to even put that steel bad boy up there. So look that up. It's really a sight to see. And when we play games there, it just puts a shadow over the whole field.
It's turning into a tradition that every episode we tell you about a college baseball field that you're not going to believe. Started with Morehead State.
Yep.
Led to LIU Brooklyn. And now it's Winthrop. So
it's unbelievable.
Use your Googler out there and Google this Winthrop baseball field. And it is a steel curtain that just towers over everything. So
it makes the Great Wall of China look small. No, but and then a couple more scores for you guys. Connecticut over Illinois at a Coastal Carolina baseball tournament. Shout out to them for hosting good tournaments early in the season. Connecticut winning 7-4. Coastal Carolina over Indiana 6-5. This team refuses to stop. This team refuses to not score runs. Michigan splitting a doubleheader with Cal State Northridge. The weather just refuses to cooperate early in the season, as we have the Frisco College Classic game also canceled today. So that about wraps up some of the most meaningful scores that stood out to me from this weekend, Ben. A great week of baseball yet again.
Yeah. And then we didn't, and out of all of those games, we didn't even talk about the College Classic scores. We had three really good games today. We had Baylor coming back late against Texas State, I believe, and it was
Texas State going for a sweep at their first time in the Houston College Classic. They wanted to show some show their talent.
Yeah, so the disrespect that Texas State got in this tournament was they played all three 11 a.m. games. And
really?
Yeah, they did, and it was because they didn't expect a big turnout. They probably weren't as talented as the other five teams in the tournament. And they showed up to Houston, and they were mad. They shut out Rice game 1-0. We talked about it on Friday.
Great pitching performance.
Yeah, they came out and destroyed somebody on Saturday.
I think it was U of H.
U of H, it was. It was University of Houston. 10-3 Saturday. Sorry, we've been watching a lot of baseball. Yeah. And they come out and beat Baylor the first eight innings, and then Baylor comes back and wins. in a close one. They scored, I think, two or three in the night to come back and win. So Texas State, great showing. Baylor.
Yeah, congrats to them.
Yeah,
congrats.
Baylor, awful showing. They saved their weekend with a late push in the ninth inning. They were 0-2 going into this game, and they came back and beat Texas State, who was a little bit slacking on the bullpen today, but
yeah, I mean, it's a mid-major school. When you
the depth wasn't there.
Yeah, it's just not going to be there against the bigger teams.
Yeah,
but it was a great weekend. The matchup, my favorite game, I think is probably your favorite game, was the pitcher's duel between TCU and Texas A&M on Saturday.
As an offensive guy, it was not my favorite.
No, definitely.
But pure baseball fan, it was my favorite. So I was a little torn between it, but yeah, it was a 1-0 game, and the 1-0 game was a lot more exciting because it felt like both teams were getting in and out of trouble. Like, the umpires weren't giving either team good calls.
Yeah, you talk about getting in and out of trouble. There was a moment in the, I think it was either the second or the third, where we were both looking at each other going, the TCU arm is done.
Williamson, right?
Yeah, Williamson, he had just walked the bases loaded. I think it was after he walked in the only run of the game. And he was looking in the dugout, wasn't finding it. He's like, yeah, he wants out.
James literally looked at me and said, I saw him look in the dugout. He's done.
Oh, yeah. You don't,
second inning. Two outs in the second.
Yeah, you don't look in the dugout after you've walked multiple guys for confidence. It's like, somebody get me out of here.
Yeah, and dude, it turned out to be a pleasure to watch because it ended up being a 1-0 win. The only run was walked in, and the only hit that Texas A&M gave up the whole game was questionable. It could have very easily been an error.
This is true.
And it was a one-hopper that was smoked to the third baseman, hits him off the left shoulder, ricochets the shortstop. No play at first. The scorekeeper did hesitate just a little bit.
Oh, that play.
It was in the eighth inning, too. Yeah,
the ruling was not put up for, I think, after the first pitch of the next batter. Like, yeah. They weren't sure what to do
and
about that one.
They actually ended up running the table, and it went as a one-hit shutout, but I don't know. If I'm the third baseman, I'm going back up and saying, hey, that's an error. Please, 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 please change it. But anyways, it was a great game, great matchup. Texas A&M ended up winning this tournament. They went 3-0.
I think, a segment that we've had multiple times early in the season is, who did we learn more about? And I think that applies here as well. In my personal opinion, I think we learned most in this tournament about Texas A&M.
Nope. Wrong.
What'd you got?
Learned the most about the Rice Owls, who were shut out Friday at 11 a.m. against Texas State. They got, I think, two or three hit. It was an ugly, ugly game. I put the done chain on them. I said they're done for the whole season.
Well, Coach Braga was even quoted after the game saying, like, yeah, it's pretty bad right now.
Yeah, and when your head coach says that, it's a wake-up call.
But he did finish off, I mean, to put full context, he did say, I think by the end of the year they'll figure it out. But coaches do not admit that.
No,
I've played on a team that was bad for a year, and we never even said anything like that.
Yeah, and so, like, we've been shitting on Rice all year, like how they just need a players-only meeting, and I'm sure they did that, and they got swept at home. And
they had a second players meeting.
Yeah, second players meet. And they show up Friday and look like there was no energy in the dugout, there was no team chemistry. Boy, were we wrong. Because Saturday they showed up and just beat the snot out of Baylor. Like, I'm saying putting balls in gaps, hitting home runs, a lot of energy out of the dugout. And I was like, okay, we got something here. And today they show up and run rule TCU 12-2 in seven innings in the nightcap. And
what a way to drive or fly back to Fort Worth.
Yeah, I want somebody to stat check the quality at bats today from Rice, because every hitter was either in a deep count or they were squaring balls up. And I hope this is the turning point for Rice, because as an old Rice fan, I was embarrassed. Like, I even said it on the show. You can quote me. Something about being embarrassed to be a former Rice fan, because that's not Rice baseball. I don't know what happened between Friday at 11 a.m. and Saturday at 3:30, but something happened and it turned this team around. So look for them to, you know, keep this momentum going. I learned the most out of Rice. A&M won the tournament, but I think Rice won the fan support back, because they're back. So
yeah, they definitely need to win their fan support back, because the alumni at Rice is big and there's high expectations over there.
Yeah, so A&M went 3-0, TCU went 1-2, Rice went 2-1.
It's a great weekend of baseball.
Baylor went 1-2, Texas State went 2-1, and then you have the Houston Cougars, the host of the tournament, right down the road, go 0-3. They got as many wins this weekend
as we did.
As we did. So, thoughts and prayers to the Houston Cougars.
Not going to be a fun off day tomorrow.
Yeah, they're not having an off day, James. There's mandatory hitting from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. But yeah, so the American Conference is probably licking their lips right now. Like, hey, when do we play Houston? Because we got to get them on fast. Because they are talented, but...
I love that conference. I'm so excited to watch those standings unfold.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very competitive. But yeah, so that's our learning from the College Classic this weekend. I would talk more about it, but I am so excited to release our second top 25 because today is the day.
That it's is in. The paper hot off the press.
I'm surprised you're holding that paper right now because that paper is hot.
Yeah, it's that cool. It ain't cold.
That paper is hotter than a fire ant on a fever blister. If you can imagine that.
Fire ant on a fever blister. That's only something you pick up when you're now a Georgian resident.
Yeah. Good old Georgia clay, man. been eating it for years now. So yeah, the top 25. I think we got it. We got it right. We got it right. You think?
I think we got
our algorithms were turning in our heads and on paper and on the computer. Our algorithms led us to believe that this was correct. But you know, if you disagree, let us know. We want to hear about it. You know, blow us up. You know.
Well, I think this is definitely going to be shaken up with ACC conference play starting next week. But I like it. I like this list. There's definitely some teams that we're on that I hate to toot our own horn, but we were on them before other people were.
James and I argued about a lot of these. I think that we're torn between some teams that maybe had bad weeks versus having bad teams. But this is it. Drum roll. Very well done, James.
Appreciate that.
Top five. Oregon State.
Not apologizing ever.
They're the best team. And that's so unbiased, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. I've never even seen Corvallis in person.
Like, I've been the closest, maybe 2,000 miles away from Corvallis. So Oregon State remains number one. They did lose today. It doesn't matter. Vanderbilt, number two.
Yeah, it only took almost a month to lose.
Yeah. So Vanderbilt, number two. Mississippi State makes a big jump to three.
Statement made.
They're the real deal. Stanford, they lost today. Won a big series, though, this weekend against Cal State Fullerton. We're okay with Sunday losses. That's okay. Whenever they go toe-to-toe on Friday, who's going to win? Stanford's going to win most games. Number five, the North Carolina Tar Heels. Solid club. They're just going to stay consistent all year. Very veteran, you know, led, I guess would be the right way to say it. So North Carolina wraps up the top five. We'll roll right into the 6 through 10. We have Arkansas at 6, Florida State at 7, Texas Tech at 8.
A team that's kind of, they need to
they're
turn around.
They're trending down. They were number three last
week.
We're
giving them some, I wouldn't say passes, but they're definitely have more reprieves than most.
That's
right,
more of a bias on our opinion, I think. But
it's also like we know
what they're capable of, and that's why we keep them up there. But
they're running out of lives.
If they're a cat, they're at like live 7 because I'm getting tired of them. UCLA 9, and
the bad boys,
the team that will remain unspoken of, the team that you guys voted for us to hate,
the team you don't want to hear about. To be honest, I think they should be higher than where they are. This is part of where the argument.
Yeah, you guys made us vote. You know, we made them lower in the poll, but this team that's out of the great state, the Lone Star State, the
former Republic of Texas.
You can't say that word. Republic of Tejas is at number Diaz. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Diaz?
Yes.
Diaz, number 10.
Yes for Diaz.
Number
the
10.
Texas Longhorns are number 10 in the country. They swept LSU. Wow. I mean.
Did we just say that? They swept LSU?
They swept LSU.
Stop.
The Fighting Paul Menaries are going back to Baton Rouge in a little bit of a shocker. That's not going to be a fun week because that's a big series. Like, it's...
Scheduled this series 2 years ago, they were not expecting to go to Austin, Texas and get swept. But they did. Had to put the bad boys in the top 10 after that. And we had to drop LSU out of the top 10. So number 11 is Tennessee. Number 12, LSU. 13, Coastal Carolina.
Pause. These guys refuse to stop scoring runs. And they refuse to stop scoring runs. We're going to also continue to find out how good they are. I love the schedule they've put together. We've talked about it so many times, but they keep winning the games. We keep moving you up. That's kind of how it works.
Is that how it works? I was about to say, is that how it works?
Sums of the times. That's how this works.
All right. Number 14, Ole Miss. They had a great week. Swept Long Beach State, who doesn't have a win.
Yeah, that deserves a win. They're 0-10.
They have as many wins as we do.
We don't have many wins, Ben. Last time I checked, we don't have many wins.
The dirtbags are playing like D-bags right now, that's for sure.
They've lost 17% of the season's gone, and haven't gotten a win.
See ya. Smell ya. It's not even like, hey, we're 500 at the end of this. No. It's going to be a while before they're 500.
I think we went and looked through their schedule. I don't have it off the top of my head. And this thing might keep going.
We looked at the schedule, and it's not fun. Yeah. It doesn't get any easier until about April. So look for the D-bags to keep messing this one up for
you. You played on a bad team as a freshman.
9-43, baby.
I played on a bad team as a senior. I think we were like 19-34. Those were not fun days at practice. Could you imagine being 0-10? We were never 0-10.
No, the UT Martin Skyhawks went 9-43 in 2014. Look it up. We actually won the fifth game of the year. So,
we don't know what it's like.
I don't know what it's like to lose 11 in a row.
Imagine showing up to your morning weight. I mean, they're going to have voluntary weights Monday morning. Imagine walking around like, fuck, we're 0-10. That's nice.
Yeah. So shout out to the D-bags over there. Florida Gators are 15. That wraps out our top 15. Go through quickly the top, the 16 through 25. Ha, just kidding. We're going to talk about number 16 quite a bit. The Bash Bros. Arizona State. What an offense. Undefeated Arizona State. What an offense. Those guys sitting at 16, they were unranked last week.
Nobody wants to face those boys come regionals. Nobody wants to face
everybody them. Out there is going to act like they knew Arizona State was the best team.
Don't believe it.
When it comes to May and they're ranked like third or fourth, just let you guys know we were the first.
We were on them first.
We were on them first.
We had them in our rankings before anyone else
did. I have no regret whatsoever claiming this
team. People are scared to pull the trigger. That's what it is.
Yeah. I mean, offense wins here. So they're at 16. We got
big league talent wins. Yeah. They've got three of them.
At least. 17, we have Louisville, 18, Georgia, 19, NC State, undefeated. Pitching staff looks great. Number 19, another team that jumps in the top 20. Louisville, 17, Georgia, 18, NC State, 19. Number 20, Texas A&M, went 3-0 this weekend. Big weekend for them.
Had to give them some love.
The fans showed up. They had about 4,000 fans travel down from College Station to Houston. 21, we have Baylor. 22, Baylor dropped a lot. They did not show me much. And we have some fans that listen to this from Baylor. I'm sorry. They looked bad. If you guys don't agree, open your eyes.
Win the games.
Win your games. Get some starting pitching. Jesus, come on. Auburn, 22. Michigan, 23. It makes me mad that Baylor's pitching staff did so poorly.
They ran out lefty after lefty after lefty. I was like,
what are you doing?
Against Rice's righty lineup was just... Anyways.
Those balls still haven't landed that Rice was hitting.
Absolutely not.
Michigan 23, TCU 24, and another team jumps in the top 25 with the Duke Blue Devils. So that's our top 25. I'll run through it one more time for you guys. Oregon State, Vandy, Mississippi State, Stanford, North Carolina, Arkansas, Florida State, Texas Tech, UCLA, Texas, Tennessee, LSU, Coastal Carolina, Ole Miss, Florida, Arizona State, Louisville, Georgia, NC State, A&M, Baylor, Auburn, Michigan, TCU, Duke. Fight us if you disagree. I don't care.
Moving on.
We got this. So, second top 25 is complete. We'll see how they play out this week. I know we have some incredible midweek matchups.
That's right. It's a sprint, guys. We're sprinting from February 15th all the way through June.
Oh, we in March now, though.
Into Omaha.
We in March.
It is March time. Baseball's about to get serious. You've got ACC conference play starting this week. But before that, we have our midweek games that we're looking forward to. And there are some good ones, guys. Don't if you're new to the show, and maybe you're even new to college baseball, and you've heard about the weekend series and don't just be thinking that's the only good action. There are tons of good Tuesday and Wednesday games, and we're going to run through some of them right now. Some of my favorites, some of Ben's favorites, something to look out for while you're getting your fix for another Friday night of good action. Starting with Louisville and Morehead State. I like that matchup. Morehead State is an offensive little club. Louisville has kind of just been,
Hey, their pitching staff only gave up one run this weekend.
Yeah.
My Cardinals, man. That's my Cardinals.
They definitely have some dudes that can sling the rock over there, some big-time athletes, and always, as we've mentioned, the highest-paid coach in college baseball. But Morehead State is always a team to look out for. Michigan hosting Long Beach State. Oklahoma and DBU finishing off the home-and-home series there. This is a fun one, Ben. East Carolina, Mississippi State. Holy crap. That's a midweek matchup. That ain't going to be your normal Tuesday night.
Those poor Pirates, though.
Yeah.
The ECU doesn't only play Mississippi State. They also follow up the next day at Ole Miss. But we'll get into more of that later. I'm jumping ahead.
Hey, we're that excited.
But those Pirates, man, they got to get at least one of those two. If they don't, 0-2 leading into the weekend, that's going to be tough. But
yeah, absolutely.
Shout out to the Pirates.
And then I feel sorry for this next team. Cal State Fullerton is traveling to face the Bash Brothers, Arizona State. That should be a good matchup. Maybe Cal State Fullerton can find a way to slow the Bash Brothers down. Hot take, I wouldn't count on it. Georgia Tech and Kennesaw State, a nice Georgian matchup there. I'm looking forward to that game. Those are some of Tuesday's matchups. Moving on to Wednesday, Florida Gulf Coast and Florida will play. I'm excited for that one, a good Florida in-state rivalry. And then as Ben alluded to earlier, East Carolina and Ole Miss, another great matchup there for East Carolina, really testing themselves midweek.
We've seen East Carolina struggle in the midweeks too. They lost to your Camels.
Dude. Campbell Camels.
They just smoked them.
Hey, we know a little bit about baseball here.
Yeah.
We know just a little bit. Moving on from there, Michigan is in here twice. They are also hosting UC Irvine. That is a very exciting matchup as well. Arizona State, again, they're hosting Fullerton for two games, Tuesday and Wednesday. So we get to really learn more about Arizona State because you might be messaging us saying, hey, like Arizona State's schedule, isn't that good? I mean, I kind of disagree. But, hey, they're going to play Fullerton twice this week. Okay, it's a quality ball club. Texas Tech and San Diego State. Those are two exciting programs.
Ooh, sign me up for that one.
Yeah, I want to watch 9 innings at least of that game. And then last but not least, North Florida and Florida State. I have my eye on that one after North Florida, the Ospreys. Not a devil ray.
Not a devil ray.
Not a devil ray at all.
I was just about to say that. Jeez. It's some type of bird. It's a hawk.
That's a lame bird. It's a lame bird. But they're playing Florida State. I'm excited to see that matchup after they were able to knock off Florida last week.
Was that last week? 2 weeks ago?
Last week, 2 weeks ago. I don't know. Ask Florida when was the last time they
ran. We're trying to forget. Florida's lucky. Yeah. You Gators fans are lucky that Texas decided that they wanted to win the poll for most hated because Florida was my favorite.
We would love to be all over.
We have to like Florida now, but ooh, I wanted to hate them so bad.
Yeah, I was really rooting for that. So those are some 10 or so midweek matchups that I'm really looking forward to. The midweeks do play a factor in the polling. Definitely play a factor in the RPI. I mean, yeah, the players can't get as excited for them because they got to go to class and you got to travel and it's. You just played, 3 days ago, but all the games matter. All the games matter, and there's some fun games out there. So those are some of the midweek matchups I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, no, I think you hit it right on the head with that one, James. We have some Player of the Week honors we want to give out. We want to start doing this every Sunday. We're gonna give a Pitcher of the Week and a Hitter of the Week, and I think the Pitcher of the Week. We had a little bit of debate over this, but we settled with John Doxakis. We had a
Wait, can you say that name again?
Doxakis.
Man, 2 for 2.
I practiced it all week, baby.
We're going to be saying it a lot. The kid's a stud.
I dreamt about that name Friday night after I couldn't say it on the show.
Yeah.
So John Doxakis, the 2025 Cy Young Award winner?
2025 through 2028.
He's a great pitcher on out-of-the-park baseball. James, let us know about that. So if you're a scout out there, draft this guy.
It's in the books, basically. It's guaranteed.
He is our inaugural pitcher of the week for his 8-inning, 4-hit, 12K performance.
12 punchados.
Against the Baylor Bears. who was ranked 11 at the time.
They
looked
like cats that night.
Yeah. I don't know why you compared bears to cats.
Cats are small and bears
they look
are
like
tough.
Cubs.
They look
cubs.
Well, the cubs are baby
the Baylor,
bears.
The Baylor Cubs. There we go. And then the hitter of the week, Tristan. God dang it.
It's not that hard. Carranza.
Hey, Mr. Hispanic over here.
It's Carranza. It's just R's and A's. There's nothing.
The double R threw me off.
I think it's your handwriting.
Carranza. Yeah. From New Mexico State. Four homers this weekend, including a three-homer day on Friday, which somehow we didn't talk about on the show. It must have been the late start, but yeah, John Doxakis and Tristan Carranza. They're our pitcher and hitter of the week.
Our names of the week.
If you know them, just tell them to listen to the show because we're gonna struggle over their names. Hopefully next week it'll be like Mike Smith and like John Smith, because I can pronounce those names. So. We have four undefeated teams left. Hopefully by the end of week three, we know who the last remaining undefeated team is, but it's going to be between the Tennessee Volunteers, Florida State Cinnamon Rolls, the Arizona State Bash Brothers, and the NC State Pitchers.
I'm putting you on the spot with a question.
Because NC State has a ton of pitching.
Dude, I'm going to put you on the spot with a question.
Just what? What?
Right. So actually, there's two questions. So, obviously, Tennessee and NC State, their pitching staffs are off to good starts. That's kind of what they're known for right now. Between those two staffs, at the end of the year, who's going to have a lower team ERA, Tennessee or NC State? And second of all, of these four teams, who is most likely to be hosting a Super Regional come that time of year?
Okay, so I think the question that is the easiest of the two, NC State will have a lower team ERA.
Okay.
Even though I think Tennessee is a little bit ahead right now.
No, they are a little bit.
But ahead. I will tell you why. The ACC has a lot better pitcher-friendly ballparks.
Ooh.
And
inside information.
They also have a lot less talented hitters as a whole. Because you have teams like Pittsburgh, and you have teams like
Boston College,
Notre Dame, who don't hit. So I think that one's pretty easy. Maybe I'm wrong, but NC State, their pitching staff has been good for a long time. They have had players like Carlos Rodon.
Oh, he was so fun to watch.
There's somebody else I can't think of right now, but they've had some pitchers in the past. You really haven't heard much about Tennessee alumni recently. I mean,
you nailed it right on the head with the difference in hitter quality. And there's a couple teams that you can really just kind of feast on.
Yeah, like when Tennessee goes to Ole Miss this year, it's like, uh-oh. And then what was the second question? Which team is going to host a Super Regional
of these four, who's most likely to win and get out of a regional and be hosting a Super? They're undefeated. We gotta be
Arizona State. Because I think they're the second best team out west.
Yeah.
And I think that the committee is going to reward them. And I honestly think that their offense is going to play all year because it's not just the Bash Brothers.
Dude, Torkelson isn't even hitting a stride yet. Home run.
They have like three players hitting right now, and they're still destroying baseballs. So Arizona State, I can see them, you know, getting matched up with pretty weak teams out west, like teams like San Diego State and as a four seed, and maybe a couple Midwestern schools.
Yeah, some like auto bids.
Yeah, I can see the NCAA hooking them up with some ease. I don't know.
Who would be a two that's kind of in that area? Arizona, maybe? They're not.
TCU?
A team, maybe like a Stanford if they fall, or Fullerton if they rise.
Fullerton's always a two seed, in my opinion. Yeah. So somebody like that. And
yeah, TCU being shipped out west. How cool would that
be? If a team from the West Coast comes and plays at Arizona, where, you know, West Coast teams traditionally have no offense, it's all pitching. I think the hitting is going to take over the pitching. But this is all speculation. I don't even know why we had this segment.
It was a
good question, but I know I'm going
to
be wrong.
You know what? I gave you this question so you could continue to stall to answer our trivia question. Let's do at the end of the show.
What trivia question? All right, so my last guess, before you tell... You're going to tell me the answer now, or we're going to wait for the next episode? Tell me now, because I don't want...
I'm going to tell the fans. You can listen if you'd like.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. So somebody gets hit by the ball. So I'm saying runner on first and second, zero outs.
Well, there has to be zero outs. It's a triple play.
No, this is like This is like you make a couple layups so you can see the ball go in the basket. All right, my bad. So I can not be afraid to shoot from three.
I'm still upset I went 2 and 3 in my pick'ems that I created.
Yeah, that's tough. That's actually going to be a good weekend for you probably, so you might as well celebrate this now. First and second, nobody out. Line drive hits the guy going to third, and the runner on between first and second stop, and he stops, and the guy passes him up, and then the runner that passes him up.
All right, here, let me interject.
Dang it.
No, you're not far off at all.
Really?
Let me ask you this. What is one way? So we said that no one catches or throws a ball, right? Mm-hmm. So what is one way where someone can be out instantly? Name the ways where people can. What ways do you get out without the defense being involved? Like, just list some. You've got.
Oh. Okay. So you get hit by the ball, or there's fielding. Like someone's trying to field the ball, and you obstruct them. So you like run into a fielder trying to field the ball.
That is all way.
You pass a runner up.
Okay. So you've got two. You have two.
And then the third way is if you get yourself out. Like you run off the field. You like run into the dugout. Infield fly. That's my other guess. Infield fly hits the runner, and then that guy passes him up.
So.
Am I close?
Here's what happened.
Dang it.
First and second, nobody out. Sky high pop. Wait, up in the infield.
That should have never happened. They should have bunted. Right? Like, they should have just bunted. That's what all the coaches
do. Oh, God. That just puts a...
Rattled.
Yeah, absolutely. We do not recommend bunting very often. Anyways, so there is a fly ball in the infield. Infield fly. The batter is instantly out. One runner is running on the pitch, doesn't see the fly ball. He runs past a runner. One of them's out. I'm not really sure, to be honest. It didn't happen that often. And then the ball comes down and hits the other guy right on the helmet. He's out. Everybody's out. The inning is over. There is a triple play. No one on defense touched or threw the ball. That is your trivia answer. If you're playing along at home,
no, that's
what you got.
For the couple thousand listeners out there, humble brag, we have a couple thousand listeners. Big deal.
No. We have a couple tens of thousands.
Well, total. But most of them repeat and they listen to all 8 episodes. But anyways, for you couple thousand listeners out there, this is the question that can give you either money, alcohol, or women. The three things in life that everybody wants. Every male wants. Most males want.
Most males.
We're not going to get into
that. We're not a Joe Rogan podcast yet.
Money, alcohol, women. Basically. This question is your key to all three. Maybe one, maybe two, maybe all three. But yes, no, this question just totally stumped me. This is comical. This is very similar to the opening scene of Little Big League, where three guys slide into the base at one time and two of them are out.
Takes me 5 hours to paint a house, you 5 hours to paint a house. How long we do it together?
we wouldn't do it together. We'd just fucking...
We'd
make a podcast about college baseball. So... That's a great answer. I'm glad that.
What's the right answer?
I'm glad that I learned that. I'm a little rattled right now.
You found it. No, you basically found the. I think.
I mean, there's only certain ways you can go with it. I mean,
there's a catcher's interference, but then what happens with the, you know, how?
It's a dead ball after that.
It's
so
a dead ball.
Well, cool. That's a good way to end the show. So maybe we can do some more trivia questions at the end of our shows. That pretty much wraps us up, though. We have a lot of midweeks coming up, Tuesday, Wednesday. We have ACC play starting next Friday, which is big time.
So
starting a week early. Most of you are probably going to be on spring break either this week or next week, so be sure to listen to all of our episodes.
Be as responsible as possible, guys, please.
Do what you need to do. That's good cop, bad cop right there. But anyways, thank you guys for listening. We'll be back on Wednesday night to recap the midweek games.
With a special announcement. Special announcement coming on Wednesday.
I don't even know what that is, but cool. I'm excited for it. But yeah, you guys enjoy your week, and we'll see you Wednesday.